Everything you need to know about the church is there, and we're just happy to have you here as our guest. This is good for me. I've been gone a little bit, so you've been gone a little bit. So it's good to be back together again as a family, the family of Christ. Bringing you up to date a little bit. Blues had a very good Christmas. That's kind of picture kind of the fam there a little bit, so you can get to know me a little bit. But in the same way, but this picture is of one guy, Andrew's head is cut off. And I thought that was very significant in the fact that, you know, all Christmases, all families have imperfections. You know, and as you go through your Christmas season, I want you to realize sometimes things will be really good and sometimes they won't be so good. The Blues had our issues, just like all God's people do. But it was just good to be together as a family. And I wouldn't change anything about it. I'm sure it'd be the same for you. I thank for each one of you guys who stepped up so I could step out and be with my family. I appreciate that very much. And the staff is working on this incredibly cool video, which they don't know about yet, to work on it on Tuesday. A really cool video, kind of a Spielberg, Lucasfilms kind of production to express thanks to you guys for the gifts you gave us over the Christmas holidays. And we'll be working on that. And you can look forward to that epic video coming out soon. Right there, probably replace Star Wars, probably as the most popular movie. Bring you up to date on what's going on. It's a busy month. A lot of good things start to come into play here. What's going on? One of the things we do is at the end of the month, and this will affect all of us in some way. First of all, it's called Super Weekend. I try to build what we do by way of planning as a church around some day that we all know. And Super Bowl is probably our national holiday. I hate to say it, but that's probably it. That's what most people build around. So one thing we'll do is on that Friday night is really for anybody who calls Shoreline home or wants just to kind of get a better picture of Shoreline. That'll be on Friday night, 31st from 7 to 9:15. And we'll spend a time of looking at, hey, where do we want to go as a church? Talk about that and then pray through that and prepare for Saturday's meetings. And what I'd encourage you to do, maybe as teams or as families, if you're going to be a part of that, then just grab a meal together in Elmore before. Elmore would love that probably. It would be a great way for you just to get together earlier, eat some food together, and then come together that night to be together. Then on Saturday, there's team planning. I shortened it. I eliminated the meals so there's less time. Because we're having on this week or this month, the Friday night part of it. That'll be for people who serve in a team, either youth, children's worship, care, Velcro, and safety teams. And then you'll do your planning there. And then you'll have a chance to then share what your plan is and you can begin to coordinate some things. And one thing to work with the safety team is to try to set up a day that we can practice what would happen if we had a shooter. I'm trying to figure out how that would fit into a sermon topic. I haven't got that figured out yet. We'll see if it maybe fit to a service that way. But those kind of things need to be coordinated. And what day works for this, and what are you doing this, and when is the youth doing everything? So it's our chance to come together and plan and kind of get organized. The event will happen over, you see kind of a picture there, not kind of, but a picture from the south side. It's a place called The Block. We have a United Brethren Church, our sister church over in Elmore. They have a downtown there. You see the address is also in your bulletin. They have a youth center they bought, and really an old antique store they bought and redid and fixed up. And we'll meet there for these meetings. Then that Sunday, football Sunday, some of you are new. What we do is, it's been 3 to 4 years we've been doing this. Some people started out with Trent Dilfer, who's a quarterback as well as a newscaster, as well as somebody who just loves Jesus. And so they began to develop these videos using football players who are in the game, and football players who are prominent in the football game, so not just the Super Bowl, and they and their families kind of share their faith story. And they develop it probably about a week or less than 2 weeks away from, as soon as they know who's in the video or in the Super Bowl, then they start crafting these videos. So you'll have players and their families sharing who are going to be playing that night, as well as other football players. We see a few of the featured guys there. Demario Davis, Kirk Cousins, and Casey Keenum. Their families will be sharing. That's a key part of it. So that'll be our Sunday morning service. And it's about the length of a sermon. And we'll still have our praise and worship time. I'll do a little closing that kind of fits where the video's going. But that's something to look forward to. A great thing to bring a friend to, especially if they're football fans. And even if they're not. One of the things they did much better 2 years ago, and they changed, they brought the families in. It wasn't just the football players sharing. And several of you ladies have said how you appreciate the fact also you get the wife sharing her story. And so it's not just about football. So again, I encourage you to look at that. And later in today's service, we'll be taking our Samaritan offering. Our Samaritan offering, which is where we give money to people in our community who are in need, and we take an offering once a month. But that's at the end of the service. Just write Sam on the memo line in the check. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, for the privilege just to gather again together as a team. Father, from issues either coming in or issues that are in front of us, Father, I'd ask that we would place those into your hands, those things we worry about, and make them prayers and place them in your hands. And during this time, just begin to focus on who you are and how that changes how we live. Help us to get a better concept of who you are, because that drives everything in our life. So God, we place the service in your hands and pull it off. Amen. I think the church is great when their view of God is great. The church is great when their view of God is great. When they see God as not really being powerful, he's just out there kind of thing, well, that affects the church huge. And so it's how we view God makes all the difference in the world. One of the marks of a great church is a passionate dependence upon God. And we got to work on that. Why? Because we catch who God is. He's the only one that can get things done or pull things off. So therefore, well, we got to pray. It's not a case of, oh, we'll pray. You know, we get around to it kind of mindset. It's not like that. A great church realizes that its programs cannot accomplish anything significant without the power of the Holy Spirit being unleashed through dependent prayer. All those things I just put on the slide that we talked about, you know, and come up here soon, so that super weekend. None of that matters if we're not dependent upon God, saying, God, you show us what to do. You show us where to go. You know, you communicate through these, you know, my friend who doesn't really kind of hates church, but he is a football player, Sharon, so maybe they'll listen. God, you've got to help them to listen. You see where I'm going? As individuals in a church, we must get to the point where we embrace our complete dependence upon God. And in our culture, that's hard to do because our culture says we can do it ourselves. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be passionate and self-disciplined and all those kind of things. But I'm saying that we're doing those things, but we're dependent upon God to pull things off. You know, as we pursue those things God has called us to do, whether represent Christ maybe your college, represent Christ at your workplace, represent Christ wherever you're back at school, whatever it happens to be, we can't do it on our own. And a little simple prayer over a burger ain't gonna cut it. It's intentional dependence, and it's hard to do in our culture. Last week, toward the end of the week, I got back on, I don't know, Wednesday or something. I don't remember when I got back, to be honest with you. Probably, you know, we got back on Tuesday. And I worked the afternoon on that Wednesday. I started to read over where we were going a little bit. And it just stopped. There was nothing, it just booms. Like, it's just all of a sudden, like, you couldn't go any further. Maybe you have those things, maybe in your work, where you just hit a block and you can't go any further. Maybe you're working on something on the bench and you can't quite figure it out. Hit that block time. And I got to the point where I had no energy, no enthusiasm, and no ability to get anything done. You ever feel that way? Yeah, all God's people said, yeah. But it was different. It wasn't just a physical part of Christmas. Christmas can wear you out. It's a good wear out. I wouldn't change it. But it was like, it just, I don't know. I went to my study, and I was at home. I was working at home, and I just laid on my face, and I said, God, I tap out. Wrestlers, you know, I give up. I don't know what to do with this. I can't fix this. And I just said, help. And I asked my dear to pray. And I think it's pretty awesome how at that point God met me when I was at the end of my rope. When I caught that God really was, we need to be dependent upon God. The question is, do we live that way? Or is it just nice words to say? The fuel that feeds a great church is their view of God. A.W. Tozer said, this is awesome. What comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And it's true. So today, here on this first Sunday of 2020, we want to start out this ministry year by focusing on who God is and then responding to Him in prayer. That's going to be kind of our pattern today. What we're going to be using is, if you go ahead and open up the Psalms, you see there page 559 in the chair Bibles, Psalms 46. It's a different scripture than it's in the bulletin. Surprise. God shut that sermon down. That'll come back later on. We're going to be in Psalms 46. And it's interesting as you look at Psalms 46. Psalms 46 is a song. These are like almost like these are like a Psalm 46 with a cluster of three psalms, and they can put it in clusters. Kind of like sometimes on a Sunday morning we'll have three songs together. Okay? In this particular worship set, I guess, for the Israelites, they had a 46, 47, 48 world worship set. And what they would do is they would use Psalm 46 as a song that the Israelites would use to help worshipers reflect and remember who God is. When you see, you'll see the words for a second. I'm talking about who God is. And what they would do is, some of you will have this word in your Bible, and some of you will not in your Bible in 46. It's Selah. There's a big debate over what it really means. What does Selah mean? You know, and it's spelled S-E-L-A, which is a mess with us who pronounce it differently. But after the first few verses, it says Selah. The next few verses, it says Selah. The next few verses, Selah. And as I look at it, what I consider that to mean is, and there's a lot of debate, what they would do at that point is they would pause. They would sing that part, pause, and weigh out the meaning of what they had just sung, and then praise God for what was revealed. Sing. Pause, consider what that says about God. Now let's praise God for what it says about God. It was a pattern today. And we're going to follow that same pattern today. The service order is very different today. And be patient if the worship team, I don't bring up the right time or whatever. We'll see, because I've never done it this way before. But I think I'm just going to follow the scripture today. Or this pattern here. So first, let's first call Isaiah God's verses 1 through 3, chapter 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Three qualities I see there about God, or attributes, qualities, is that He's our refuge. He's our refuge. Now, what does that mean? Well, refuge is that place where you can get away, where you can retreat to. Where at that refuge, when you're in that refuge, you can kind of begin to renew yourself, get a better focus, get away from all the blur of life, all that static noise that we tend to live in, and refocus. And not stay there, because that would make you a monk, you know, like how people used to get away from monks, and that's okay, I guess. But you retreat, you renew, and you refocus so that you can re-engage now with a new perspective. So He's our refuge. He's also our strength. When there's nothing in the tank, either emotionally or physically, God is our strength. Now, if you've ever experienced that before, you just know there's nothing there, but yet God comes through and gives you strength to do something that you never thought you'd be able to do. Or you walk into a tough circumstance, and you're not sure how this is going to work out, and somehow God pulls it off, and you're not even sure how He did that or what you did. And people say, oh, that was great. You're going, okay. That's just God's strength. He gives our strength. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble, which means He's always present. That can be scary somewhat sometimes too, I guess. He's always present. And you ever feel like, as you look at the text, look at verses 2 and 3. Though we all fear, though the earth gives away, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. I mean, this is pretty crazy stuff going around these people. So when everything else is falling apart in the midst of all of this stuff, that no one could control. You couldn't control the waves. You couldn't control mountains fall. I mean, you couldn't control any of this stuff. In the midst of all that, he's saying, I am present. You don't have to respond to this question, but have you ever experienced God being your refuge and strength? Experience that thing where he's always present. Now, one question I'm going to have today for group participation, okay, then you can relax a little bit, even though today's, you're going to be active throughout the whole service, so if you just came here to sit, we're on church. I'll be happy to point you to another one. To sit, okay? But you're never supposed to do that anyway in the church. How's experiencing God as your refuge and shame? How does experiencing God as your refuge and strength change your life? How does that experience of knowing that God is your refuge and strength and that he's always present, how does that change real life?
Takes the pressure off us.
We still got to deal with things, but it's really more in his hands. Good, what else? I want you to see the practical application to theology, what this means. Yeah, it gives you hope when you don't feel like there should be any, and the circumstances add up in such a way that it doesn't appear to be any. There is, but it's in him. Good. What else?
Focus on the right path.
Say it again.
Focus on the right path.
So you focus on the right path. Did I get that right? Okay. So it helps you to focus on the right path. When you're not sure what to do because he's leading you, he's your refuge, he's present, then we're focused where he wants us to go. Anybody else? I want you to think.
Not dependent on things.
Okay. Yeah. We tend to depend upon Visa, the bank, those different things that can give us a maybe security in life, and that's not who it is. So I just want you to see as we walk through this the idea of your refuge, our strength, and present, you're going like, oh, I've never heard that before in church. I know that's not rocket science. But if we actually live in light of those qualities, it changes everything. So now what I want to have us do is, and worship team to come up and take your place behind me, please. Be ready here. We want to pause and praise God for who he is. Notice in the text that when he's speaking, God is speaking to a people. There's nothing like the me or the I. That's all about the idea of our refuge. We. And when we tend to read scripture, we tend to think me. So what does this say to me? So as we walk through this, I want you to catch that as we look at our responses, as you look at responding to who God is, I want you to catch that God is speaking to a people in the text, the Israelites, as well as in the individuals who are worshiping. Today, as we pray and respond to God, this text is speaking to a people. It's speaking to the Shoreline Church in this context. And you as an individual who's part of this bigger picture of a team. So I want you to consider what these qualities of God have to say to both our church as well as to you as we respond. So I know it's hard to just think on two tracks. If you want to, just pick one. Just think about maybe just for yourself or maybe for the church. But understanding the text, it's really being two different things. So what we want to do is we want to turn these qualities of God that we've identified, I put them in a little box there, as a springboard of practical, specific expressions of worship that kind of help us know what to pray. Where God is our refuge, our strength, and always present. First, you can either pray out loud or one at a time, or silently. That's up to you, between you and God. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But out loud, if you do pray out loud, I ask you just to be clear. You don't talk real quiet. Because then I can't hear you, no one else can hear you. Because this is group prayer. In Scripture, there was more group prayer than there was individual prayer. That's in the book of Acts. So, Lord, I praise you for being my refuge and strength when you fill in the blank. You need Scripture or whatever else God lays on your heart. Okay? So either out loud or silently. Just enjoy spending this time responding to God because of who he is. Lord, I praise you, Lord, for being my refuge and strength when I feel like I have neither.
praise you, Lord, for being my refuge and strength when it seems like the world is against me.
And the next one, just silently, and really focus on this, really, you know, spend some time with God, pray here. Lord, I praise you that you have been or are always present when. Lord, I praise you that you have, that you have been or are always present when, whatever that situation you experience now. Please stand with me as we praise our God who has done great things for us. Please be standing. I want to continue to praise God this morning by way of sharing God's tidings. And it's a great way to say it. Where have you seen God at work lately? All I ask is as you share this, if God prompts you to share, focus on God, make God the focus, not a person. Speak briefly as brief, speak clearly. And we'll be doing it the next 2 weeks. So I'm going to be a 2-week kind of thing. We haven't done God's sightings for a while, so I know some of you like to think about it more. And so if you'd like to think about it more and share next week, that's fine. But at this point, we'll open up to the body just to share where you've seen God at work lately. Explain how we operate. Anybody else?
You know, over the last couple weeks, I listened to my granddaughter talking about life and things going on, and her mom shared with me that at school, she got into a big fight with a couple of boys over creation. And she was very angry at them, and so she got on her little iPad, and she pushed all those little buttons, and she read them, first chapter of Genesis, where it said, God created. And it's just so exciting to see your grandchildren embracing and using what they've been taught at home and at church, even in school, where it might not be as popular. And so I just keep praying that she'll always be a strong believer, and she won't let the world crush her. So it's exciting to hear that.
Praise the Lord. She's 7. 9. That's close. She's 9-1, like 22.
I want to thank everybody for the prayers for Mom. She's getting better. She's just, she's what she is now. I mean, she's slow. She's going to be able to come home from rehab next weekend. Her praise prayers. And I've got a great grandson that is in Michigan. I don't know what really did happen, but right now he's only 3, and he's on life support. They're going to try to wean him off the sedation to do some more MRIs to see if there is any damage to his brain. His brain is swollen. So just keep him in prayer. His name is Christopher. And keep Mom in prayer. Keep me in prayer that once Mom gets home, that my sister and I can be able to maintain our our strength through any amount of it, and we need a lot of help. So just keep praying for me and my family. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Those of you who are new with us, there was one Sunday where I never preached, which everybody was thankful for. But it was kind of funny. God said, just kept going. Yes, sir.
Alright, so there's many things that we don't understand, and like, I don't know how to explain this in like the best term. Alright, so it was New Year's, and it's kind of difficult to understand struggles and God's unseen plan, because most of the things that we see as God's sightings aren't seen. Like, you understand it a day later, 2 days later. But it's cool to see things that you don't see happening in the first place, and seeing people make it out of things that, like, is not supposed to happen. And different things, like finding a phone on the ground in the middle of the field. Maybe you dropped your phone in the grass and never found it. No. You imagine trying to find it in the dark. Doesn't happen. So it's cool to see things come together in ways that you don't understand. And so, like, to keep faith in struggle, and that's like the biggest God sighting that I think any of us can have.
Pray for it. Children, you're dismissed to Sunday school, and worship team, go ahead and take your seat. As we're leaving, we'll go back to Psalm 46, right back to the text. Buddy, you should take them, he says.
All right, I thought we were singing a song there. I messed up.
That's fine. Okay. Psalm 46. We'll look next year at the next three verses, Psalms 46, 4 through 7. Again, this is a great scripture. It says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God, it says, is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Next, we're looking at some qualities of God as we consider it. We need to surrender to a God who is our sustainer. When you walk through that text of how God sustains, it sustains through the river, it's interesting. In my Life Application Bible, it said, it makes the point that most great cities have a river flowing through them or beside them for two reasons. One, for just agriculture. Water tends to go well with those kind of things, as well as trade. But in the context, we're talking about Jerusalem. Jerusalem has no river flowing through them. Let's make the point, but it had God. God is who sustained them. God is the one who helped them, not some river. It's God who sustains our lives. And today, I think that God sustains his followers and everything that we need for our life. Key phrase, what we need. Wants are just a cherry on top of the banana split. That's cool. We'll take those. But he sustains us with what we need. Speaking to followers of Christ, Paul said these words in Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I want you to catch there what it's saying. He'll meet all of our needs according to his riches. The point is, he can pull from a lot of resources to meet our needs. God's got deep pockets. And it's not just financially. That's not the whole thing. That's maybe part of it. But boy, he meets our needs. Jesus, there was a point in the disciples' life where I think it was one of the shakiest times of their life. When it kind of felt like things were falling apart. And in a lot of ways, they were. They really fall together. Like Luther, like you were sharing, really that situation really was something that God was bringing together in the midst of the situation. He said to his disciples, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. Talk about the idea of God being their sustainer. And he'll just like back to the river motif or example. He goes right back to the river situation, how God supplies everything we need. And it says that it's kind of interesting. From his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. That's for us today, as we look at it on this side, it's the idea of the Holy Spirit. And when God meets our needs, it's often in a way that once it happens, we catch it. We go like, holy smokes. And that the word picture, this is kind of gross. Okay? But it's in Scripture. From his inmost being will flow waters, flow rivers of living water. It's almost like the idea when the Holy Spirit's working in our lives, and he's helping us to meet our needs, it will be as evident as water flowing out of your gut. Weird picture. I don't come up with it. I just read it. But that'd be pretty evident, wouldn't it? If all of a sudden I had a river coming out of my belly, and I know there's a lot of belly there, and I could probably, it wouldn't be too hard for me to pull that off. But my point is that would just stand out, and that's exactly what we're talking about. Sometimes we don't see that to the flip side. But it's incredibly evident. See, when we follow God, his promises to supply everything we need to complete our journey is given to us through the Holy Spirit, through that river. That's how it meets for us today. When you look at the text, there's a river that talks here about there's a river that flows through the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. There's a double meaning. The second part of the meaning is the idea that God will sustain his followers with all we need and more in the coming city of God. Not just in the present tense, but it's pointing to the future tense by way of heaven. Revelation 22, 1 through 2 says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now, we're not going to get into all the background of that. The point is that even in heaven, God is the supplier of our needs. It's that river that supplies everything that we need. Not only is our sustainer, he's also our security. I mean, let's face it, everyday stuff in life can be scary. And just watch the TV. You know, I try not to watch as much TV. It can be scary to look at that stuff. And when not even in our world, but when we look at the circumstances that hit us from out of nowhere, we begin to catch the fact that we're really out of control. We think we are, but we're not. And then when those situations where we really don't have, when we figure out that we don't have control, God steps in to be our fortress. He steps in to be, and we go back to the text, our security. That fortress, you know, a place where, again, similar to refuge, a little more battle-driven here, because the idea not just refuge, but a fortress. It's a place where we can withdraw to fight. It's a place where we can recharge, be ready to get back into battle. It's a place of protection. So yes, our security is our fortress. Back in 1539, when I was like in third grade, there was this great rebel in the early church who led a revolution. Just, it was crazy. It was called the Reformation. And one of Martin Luther's favorite psalms was Psalm 46. It was out of prayerful study of this text that Martin Luther wrote the battle hymn for the Reformation. It was kind of like their the flag they put up. It was pointed to what the changes they wanted to see made in the church. And the name of that hymn is A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Listen to the words of this great hymn, and I'll try. It's a lot of old English here. I'll do my best. Don't worry about how I say it. Look at the God it paints. Look at the God it paints. Again, he's taking it right out of the text. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark. That simply means something that supports something. A bulwark, a support that never fails. Our helper is he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing.
For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft of power great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Although this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we need not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. God's in control. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sighteth. It's hard to say. Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. What a picture of who God is. The worship team, you get ready? Well, let's respond. Let's pause, you know, Salem, and let's surrender to God, who's our sustainer, our security, and our fortress. First, again, this can either be out loud if you'd like to, or you can pray silently. There's no pressure. If you don't want to pray at all, that's fine too. Okay? I'm not going to force people to do things. I'll let God, if he leads you to pray, pray. But either out loud or silently, I want you to pray, Lord, I confess and surrender my fears about to you. I know what your blank is. But in light of the fact of who he is, sustainer, security, fortress, Lord, I confess and surrender my fears about blank to you. Let's spend some time praising God here in prayer. If you want to lead out, go ahead and lead out. And if you want to pray silently, that's fine too. Next, silently. Lord, forgive me for trusting in blank to sustain me instead of you. Lord, forgive me for trusting in blank to sustain me instead of you. Spend some time talking to Jesus. I ask you if each person here, you would help us to rest in you as our fortress. That we would catch that spending time with you and being cognizant of who you are in our life is not some dry thing that we have to do or a checklist we have to, something to do on a checklist to check off. Man, you're our fortress. You give us rest. Help us just to run to you and out of love for you. And Father, for those of us who I don't know what our blank was this morning, where we have fear, may God help each of us here this morning through the power of your Spirit know that you've got this. Please be standing. Let's respond to our God. Thank you.
the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters spears, but he burns his shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. It means he'll be put, remember we talked about a few weeks ago, that he'll be put into his right place and authority among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. There will come a time that God will be judged and we'll know it. The Lord Almighty is with us. So until God's in that situation where he does restore everything, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Qualities I see there are these. This is our last part here. Is that he's our peace. Here in the present tense where we're at now, it's hard to have peace sometimes. So we can be in some tough situations. But God can give us peace even in the hardest situations. Again, the disciples, another situation where they had no control over. And they're in a situation where, you know, Jesus is going to be taken away. They pictured following somebody for 3 years. And you kind of just bet your life on this guy. And he's leaving. He talked about leaving. He's talking about being killed. And the idea of losing Jesus and what they had invested in scared them to death. In the midst of that, here's what Jesus said to them. Peace I leave with you. Peace, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Not like the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. And do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. When you look at the word peace in the text, what it means is it's the confident assurance that in any circumstance that God's got this. The confident assurance in any circumstance that we know that God's got this. And Booter, I can't remember. You might have been a freshman. Way back, I shared about my son having cancer, and I remember talking with the track team and saying that if God answers his prayer by taking him, God is still in control. He still could. If God chooses for him to live, then I really like that better, obviously. But either way, he's in control. I'm not saying I have peace like that, but at that moment, God gave me peace, whichever way it went. And that's what he offers it to us today. He offers it to people who are willing to ask for it. We need to be humble enough to ask for it. Fear and anxiety and doubt don't have to rule us. God promises peace to those who are humble enough to ask for it. And get over our stubbornness of trying to pull it off on our own. Paul, speaking to the church in Philippi, said this, and these guys were going through some really tough stuff. They were killing people and Christians, etc. So this wasn't really a great time in the church. And Paul's writing this from jail. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, talking to God about it, with thanksgiving, with the right attitude, you know, thank God for what he's going to do, present your request to God. Verse 7. I use this, if I've ever visited a hospital for a surgery, you're going to get this one every time. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The reality is that all of us have things we're going to worry about. Maybe it's in our families, maybe it's at school, it's in our jobs, at home. And what Paul asked the question is, do you want to worry less? And if you want to worry less, then the scripture is saying that we need to focus on the qualities of your great God. By turning what you're worried about into prayer. Does that make sense? So let it just rule you and say, God, help me. I said earlier, God, I don't know what to do. Help. And what the text says is that when we do that, God will guard our hearts from all anxiety. And again, back to the text, so I'm sure of the text. It's also pointing toward a future time. It's kind of interesting. This points both present and then future, almost prophetic prophecy here. In the future, there will come a time when God will end all the wars between nations and between families. And finally, there will be peace on earth.
there yet, but there will come a time. That's what that's talking about. The last is the last point. We need to pray to our God, who is our Almighty God. Just be still for a second. Think about the fact that the Lord Almighty, the creator of the universe, the God of Jacob, our fortress, is with you as a follower of Jesus. And our natural response to that, when we begin to wrap our hearts around that and understand that, is now because of who God is, we begin to honor Him by putting Him first in our life. God, because of who you are, this is my norm, this is what I got to do. You know, it's just a natural response to exalt Him, which is a church word for putting Him in His right place. So therefore, we seek to serve and love Jesus as a love response to our Almighty God. We don't do things as Christians to try to earn God's favor so we can get into heaven. We don't do things to get brownie points. You know, hopefully God, where His talents, God doesn't keep a tally for, you know, you get it out, you don't have enough checks. It's not that way. But we serve Him because it isn't about the checks. It's about what He's done for us. It's about His grace. So we serve as a love response. Worship Him for the last time. Working those legs. I'll send you my bill later. Let's pause and pray to the God who is. Don't drift off on me here now, okay? Let's keep focused here. The God who is our peace and our Almighty God. First is just silently. Really silently. Jesus, because you bring peace, I ask you to work in my relationship with. Help me to do my part to bring peace to this relationship. This is silent, obviously. So right now, spend some time with Jesus, our God of peace, and present this request to Him. Lord, because you are almighty, I would trust you to help me overcome my struggle with blank. So I present that now. The God of peace, the God who is almighty. Lord, because you're almighty, I would trust you to help me overcome my struggle with frustration. Please be standing. Well, let's pause and respond to God this morning. There are voices in our offerings. If you're a guest, you feel no obligation to give. Okay?